He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, KGVM.org, 95.9 FM on the radio dials, and of course, as always, Ian Laird 3 on the Twitter. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the big Michigan-Ohio State rivalry game, and every FCF playoff game as well. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman sports authority. Lots to be thankful for here in Bozeman on Thanksgiving Day, including Bozeman Hawks win the state championship game. Bobcats cross country runner gets national recognition. Cat Grizz domination on the ground, and we will take a look at what everyone should be thankful for today and what I am thankful for here at KGVM as well. But first, as always, we'll start with national news. NFL has three games today, and before we get too far into that, let me reset everything here. Detroit at 3-7-1 plays Chicago in the worst game of all of them. Chicago comes in at 5-6. That kickoff is set for 10:30, so happened just a couple hours ago. I'm recording this a little early, but that kicked off at 10:30 today. Buffalo at 8-3 is traveling to Dallas at 6-5, and then the nightcap is New Orleans at 9-2, plays Atlanta at 3-8, but that is a rematch of the games that the Falcons won just about a month ago, so it still should be a really, really good game there. We'll have to see how everything plays out, but it should be a great day of football. Lots of people talking about, and they do every Thanksgiving, that why is Detroit on the TV? Why do we have to watch the Detroit Lions every single year? So the Detroit Lions and the Cowboys are the two that play every year. Cowboys have a lot of fans out there, so that one I get. But a lot of people are angry that the Lions are still playing every single year on TV and on Turkey Day. And all I have to say about that is, as a Lions fan, I just want everyone to remember, I have to watch them suck every single week. I watch them and they're terrible and they almost win, but then they lose at the end. And now we're down to our third string quarterback is starting today. So if I have to watch them every week, you can deal with watching them one game a year on Thanksgiving at 10:30 in the morning, which is early anyways. You're probably just getting going, so you're not going to pay that much attention to it. The big games are after that. So just relax and let Detroit have the one thing Detroit has, and that is the Thanksgiving Day game. Because, again, we suck all year, and I have to watch this. So you can deal with one day of it. And I love that Detroit gets at least one major game a year. They always start the year off great. This year they're 3-1-1, and now they're 3-7-1 or whatever it is, because they tied their first game. So welcome to my pain. I'm thankful that you have to deal with that today along with me as well. Moving on to FBS college football, it is rivalry week. This week we had ours, last week here in Bozeman. This week the rest of college football does theirs. It starts off tonight with Ole Miss taking on Mississippi State. That game is at 5:30 tonight. And then Friday, we have number 19 Cincinnati at number 18 Memphis. We also have number 24 Virginia Tech playing at Virginia. So two great games on Friday. There's a bunch of games Friday, but those are the two main ones. And then the big games are all on Saturday. I have number 1 Ohio State taking on number 13 Michigan. I'll get to that game here in a minute. Alabama is number 5, plays number 15 Auburn. Number 12 Wisconsin is at, I believe they're now 11 or 13, Minnesota. And number 7, Oklahoma, is at number 21, Oklahoma State. That is in the Bedlam game. That's always a great game to watch. If you have a chance to watch that one, there's a lot of hatred and animosity in that rivalry, just like the Cat Grizz is. Ohio State, Michigan's the biggest one, I think, of all of those. I really think Michigan's lost 7 in a row. I really think this is the year that they snap that. Ohio State's great, but I just think Michigan at home, this is going to be John Harbaugh's chance to come in there and do something with this program. If he doesn't beat him this year, I don't know if he'll be the coach next year. So I think that gives some added oomph to it. And Michigan has been playing really, really well the last couple weeks. They got their offense figured out. They've always had a good defense. So I think they're going to win that one. I think Auburn takes care of Alabama. Alabama's without Tua. So he's out for the rest of the year and probably for good because he'll probably go pro next year. And so I think Auburn sneaks up and beats Alabama. That'll take care of Alabama's national championship and the playoff hopes, and that'll end that controversy. And if they make it in, why do they make it in and everything else? I think Minnesota beats Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a great running game, but they've really struggled in the last couple games. Minnesota had that tough loss to Iowa after beating Penn State, so kind of a letdown game. I think they get right back into it in this rivalry and beat them in Minneapolis. And I'm going to take Oklahoma all day over Oklahoma State in the Bedlam game. Just because I just think they're that much of a better team. They've got a great quarterback that transferred from Alabama in Hurst. Oklahoma State's been up and down. They have a great offense, but haven't really shown much defense. Oklahoma's an all-round great team, and if they can destroy them, maybe after Alabama loses and they move into that because they'll have the Big 12 championship coming up. And so maybe they'll move forward into that talk as well. I think Ohio State can afford to lose to Michigan and still make the playoffs. We'll have to see how it all pans out here next week. But I kind of see that that's the way it's going to go. And then you've got your championship games, which could be Ohio State versus Minnesota for the championship there. I don't think Michigan, even with a win over Ohio State, can move into that spot. But stranger things have happened. We'll have to see how everything plays out this weekend, but a lot of great games in college football. Once again, you can watch them all on up at Spectators Sports Bar and Grill. And finally, in FCS playoffs start this weekend as well. Bobcats are used to hosting this game, but because of their win, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, they get a bye. Central Connecticut State will take on Albany, with the winner traveling to take on your Montana State Bobcats in the first week of December. Albany goes into the game at 9-4, while Central Connecticut State is 11-1. Both teams play in weaker FCS subdivisions or conferences. They're not the top ones. Even at 11-1, you think, wow, that's an amazing team. How come they're not ranked? Because they haven't played anybody that's really, really good. A lot of those teams are half scholarship. Some of them are full scholarship. I think Albany and Central Connecticut State both are. But they're not the greatest teams. They're teams that then have to travel all the way across the country, which I'll talk about here in a second as well. And so I think it's going to be tough for them to come into this game, or whoever wins that game this weekend, to come in to Montana State and beat them. But we'll go over all that here in the next coming weeks. That kickoff is this Saturday between Albany and Central Connecticut State. Easy for me to say. It's at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning on ESPN3. A great chance to watch both these teams and see exactly what the Cats have coming up. Now, when it comes to travel and everything else, so the seeds came out. Weber State was number two. Weber State was Weber State was number three. Sacramento State was number four. Montana State was number five. And the Grizzlies were number six. So 3, 4, 5, and 6 all went to Big Sky teams. And that really threw a monkey wrench in where teams can travel. Instead of having a first-round game in Missoula after they got thumped by the Cats, they put them in as the sixth seed. That means that some of these other teams have to travel all the way down to Louisiana. Villanova has to travel all the way there. The Grizz would have had San Diego might have come up to the Grizzlies if they would have fallen out. If the Cats lose that game, they are in a play-in game in the first round at home probably, but there would be a Western team. But because of all the Western teams got seeded, that put all of these other West Coast teams having to travel east, or a lot of East Coast teams in the second round having to travel all the way out west. The second round is all of those kind of teams having to travel a lot. And then in the quarterfinals, they got it to where they want it to be, where Sacramento State, if everyone wins out like they should, Sacramento State will host Montana State and Weber State will host Montana. But with 3, 4, 5, and 6 all being from the Big Sky, it really threw a monkey wrench in all of that. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But again, the Cats have the bye this weekend. They're at home with their families, enjoying Turkey Day and everything else. So good for them. Congratulations to the Cats. And once again, go Michigan. I expect Michigan, Auburn, Minnesota, and Oklahoma to win those games, but some great games on tonight. And, of course, the Detroit Lions that you're going to have to suffer through watching, but you can deal with it. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a look at Hawks' big win and a tough loss for Manhattan. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Also, you can reach me at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Go. He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. The Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the FCS playoffs coming up starting this weekend. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Your phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority. So as you can tell, we are the champions, mainly for the Hawks, but let's take a look at two teams that played in championship games here in this past week in the Valley. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also reach me at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. So we'll start in Manhattan. Eureka quarterback Hank Dunn racked up 142 yards rushing and two touchdowns on the ground on 14 attempts. That's impressive. Leading the Lions to a 20-6 win over the Manhattan Tigers in the State B Championship game last Saturday afternoon. The Tigers defense did all it could, holding a Lions offense that averaged 47 points a game to only 20, but the offense could not get rolling. Tigers were led by senior quarterback Lane Veldkamp, who had an excellent duel against Dunn, primarily, wow, I think I ate turkey and I'm already tired. On the ground, however, the seniors, 95 yards rushing and 94 yards passing against the Tigers, or for the Tigers, and one touchdown, were unable to propel Manhattan past Eureka. Eureka pretty much ran the ball at will in the second half, kind of like the Cats did in their game. And when you do that, it eats up the clock, and you just don't have enough possessions to come back. So a great effort by Manhattan. Congratulations to Eureka and Josh Dearman and his whole family, since he's from Eureka. I'd say Wes Bigger as well, but he's a Grizzly, so I'm not going to give him any credit at all this week. But congratulations to the Eureka Lions winning the championship game. This vindicates a loss that they had to Manhattan last year in the playoffs. So congratulations, Eureka. A great year, though, by Manhattan and a team that I don't think is going anywhere. I think they have some great young kids that are coming up, and I think Manhattan is definitely on the rise. This is the farthest they've ever been in years, and so I just think that they're going to keep climbing as the years go on. They've got a great head coach, so congratulations to Manhattan Tigers and to Eureka. Great sportsmanship out there. Quite a few fans, considering that it was Cat Grizz at the exact same time. So we look forward to covering them next year, and good luck in the future. Moving on to Bozeman High Championship game versus Butte, one that, again, we did right here, and you could listen to here on KGVM. So let me start with Butte itself. So first off, the crowd started lining up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I got there at about 3:30. I had another appointment over there, and so I tried to get in around 4 just to make sure everything was set up right. They said, nope, we're not letting anybody in until 5:30. That way it gives people a chance. But they were lined up at the gates and around the entire stadium at 8 o'clock in the morning to get into this game. So extremely impressive there. The game didn't start till 7 at night, so they were there all day long. On top of that, so Butte High is kind of in the middle, and we'll talk about this in a second as well, but it's in the middle of town. So you have Butte High, and then all around it is private property. There's no big fields like in Bozeman or anything like that. It's private property all the way around it. So you had a ton of empty lots that are parking lots for companies over there. They had 5 lots set aside for tailgating at a high school championship game tailgating, and it started for a 7 o'clock game at 11 in the afternoon, they told me. And two of the five had actual live bands that were playing throughout the entire afternoon. When I got there again at 3 or 3:30, the bands were already playing and kicking it up. It was an amazing scene with all of these tailgate lots and the tents set up and all the purple and white that everyone was wearing. It was it was unbelievable how much they got into this game. Before the game also, so that sets up before the game, and my last story on that is I couldn't get in, so I had about an hour and a half or 2 hours to kill because I couldn't get into the stadium yet, and so I went across the street to a local establishment just to grab something to eat real quick, have a nice tea, and just get, you know, get ready for the game and at least get something in my stomach since it's going to be a long time before the game starts. So I walk over there. I sit down. This cute little blonde girl helps me. She's the bartendress there. And I say, can I get a menu and an iced tea? And she goes, sure. So she brings me a menu. And she goes, here's your iced tea. Thank you very much. And I was like, all right. I took a drink. And it was the strongest Long Island iced tea I have ever tasted in my entire life. And I almost spit it out. And I look over and I said, is this a normal iced tea? And she looked at me. And again, I'm not wearing a bunch of Hawk stuff or anything else. But she looked at me and said, well, sir, that's the only bleepin' type of iced tea we serve in Butte, America. Of course that was the answer from Butte, because that's the way Butte people are. They are their own America. They are their own people. And they don't get any give or take, I guess. They give a bunch of guff. Take any guff from anybody. So it was really, really interesting that she said that. And that kind of set a tone for the entire evening of, oh, okay, so this is how this is going to go. Great to know. So that kind of set the whole thing off. It started for a great night. Before the game, they had about 3 minutes worth of fireworks that they had that went off during the pregame. All the kind of stuff. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was amazing what they put into this state championship game. The crowd was crazy. It was packed in there. And because of the way that the Butte Stadium is set up, so like I said, it's right in downtown, but Butte is on a hill. It's the richest hill in the world at one point. I think they still call it that, richest hill building and all that. So the one side of the bleachers, of course the field is flat, but one side of the bleachers is up on the hill. The other side is down lower on the hill. So as you're sitting in the bleachers to, I guess it'd be the south, you're the top of the bleachers are almost at where the bottom of the bleachers on the other side are. So it's a very interesting crowd dynamic, and it was a huge crowd. I think they said there was around 8,000 people were at the game. So as much as a Class A school or town has, 8,000 is a lot of people in one game. And again, they've been tailgating since 11. So they're pretty rowdy, pretty fired up. You had people sitting on the, I guess it would be buildings across the street or the top, the rooftops is the word I was looking for, of buildings across the way looking in on the game, drinking beer up there and having just a blast. It was a huge, huge, huge game. And the atmosphere was electric till about the third quarter. And that's when everything changed. The time-old adage of bad things come in threes had a slight twist on Friday night. Instead of bad things, it was Bozeman's running back, Asher Croy. Future Grizzly, wish he was a Bobcat, from Bozeman, racked up 333 yards, three touchdowns on 33 handoffs. So 3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3. Lifting the Hawks to their fourth AA state title of the decade, downing Butte 49-28 in a huge electric atmosphere at Naranchi Memorial Stadium. Croy started and ended the Hawks scoring. His first score coming off of a response to immediate opening drive by Butte's offense and Tommy Millett, 52-yard pass to Jake Olson, and Jake Olson was wide open. Tommy Millett is a great quarterback. He's going to be playing for the Cats. We'll talk about it here in a second. But it was a second-half scoring pass from to Carter Ash and Iden that ended on tense third quarter to the QB. Hawks put a stamp and control of the contest going up 28-14. Just when you thought that the Butte was going to come back, then there was an interception by Spencer, the defensive tackle for the Hawks, ran 30 yards in for a touchdown, and that pretty much ended it right there. Tommy Mellott racked up 291 total yards. Passing yards, excuse me, completing 20 of 37 passes. The future Montana State player also added 80 yards on the ground, but Butte was only able to average 3.62 yards per rush attempt, a testament to Bozeman's defensive efforts. The Hawks, on the other hand, added up, I think it was 6.5 yards a carry on the night, so a huge win for them. Congratulations to the Bozeman Hawks as they are state champions. We're very proud to bring you all the games this year. Here on KGVM, I'd like to thank Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, The Liquor Spot, and Bozeman Daily Chronicle, who sponsored the last game and will be sponsoring our basketball coverage. So as we wrap up the fall schedule and go into the winter schedule, we will have boys and girls basketball for the Hawks on this year as well. So it'll be very, very busy, but some great games coming up. So as we wind down, the winter season starts in a couple weeks. Let's take a look back at what we are thankful for high school sports here in the Gallatin Valley this fall. First is Bozeman's boys and girls finish as state champs in golf. Congratulations to them. Bozeman Hawks boys cross country team wins its 12th straight cross country championship. Bozeman girls reclaim the state championship, after winning it for years, and then they lost it last year. Won it again this year. Manhattan Christian wins its 4th straight Class C cross country championship as well. We've got a lot of distance runners here in the valley. Manhattan Christian claims its Class C volleyball championship as well, and then of course it's capped off with the Bozeman Hawks football win, its 4th state championship of the decade, claiming the decade for the Hawks. That's a lot to be thankful for here in the Gallatin Valley, and we haven't even started with talking about the Cat Grizz game yet. So we will take a quick break and come back with a look at MSU action from the past week and the playoffs coming up in volleyball and football. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also, IanLaird3 on the Twitter. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. I love you. Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat, so good. That clapping's messing my head up, man.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the Michigan versus OSU rivalry game, FCS playoff games as well, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectators Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority.
All night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong.
It is Thanksgiving, and there's nothing like Thanksgiving when it comes to Adam Sandler's turkey song, Thanksgiving song. So if you haven't heard that whole thing, look it up. It's great, and it reminds me of Thanksgiving every year. It's one of Chubbs and I's favorite songs. Chubbs is a buddy of mine from high school. He is now skinny. I am now fat, so the tables have turned there. But it's great, so go take a look at or listen to it as we are all thankful for all things today, including all of our Gallatin Valley sports teams. Let's take a quick look at Bobcat action from the past week in volleyball. Montana State senior volleyball standout Alyssa Rizzo capped an already productive season, being named to the Big Sky Conference's Libero of the Year on Wednesday evening at the league's postseason tournament banquet. Rizzo, a product of Chesswood, Illinois, established herself as Big Sky's top defensive player, leading the league and averaging 5.96 digs per set. Her dig per set total ranks seventh in the nation as the Bobcats enter the Big Sky tournament play against host Sacramento State on Thursday night. Rizzo became just the third player in Big Sky Conference history to go over the 2,000 dig plateau as the Bobcats swept Idaho in three sets on November 9th. Her current 2,088 career digs shattered the old Bobcat mark of 1,720 set by Candace Kelly from 2003 to 2006. Now Candace Gregorek, by the way. This weekend, the Big Sky Volleyball Tournament again kicks off today. Pairings for the quarterfinals are number 7, Southern Utah versus number 2, Weber State. Number 6, Idaho versus number 3, Northern Colorado. Number 8, Montana just sneaks in there versus number 1, I believe it's Portland State is number 1. And number 4, Sacramento State versus number 5, Montana State. So good luck to all of the teams there. But especially the Cats. All these games start today, like I said, and can be watched on Pluto TV if you have the Pluto app on your phone or your Smarty Pants TV that you have. Semifinals are on Friday, with the championship game, of course, on Saturday at 7:05. Moving on to boys basketball, Montana State scored 13 points in the second half to start the second half, to point a 2-point lead into a runaway 82-46 win over Colorado Christian. That game was in Bozeman on Tuesday night. It was a great game to be at. I think the Cats are back. It's early, but the intensity and the passion that is there is sure way different than we've seen in the past, and something that is going to continue on, I think, for the rest of the year. Layden Ricketts led all players with 15 points in his 2 3-pointers. In the first 2 minutes of the second half, keyed the Bobcats' defensive run. Jabril Bello sandwiched those trays with layups to set the tone for Montana State, who answered a 37-point shooting first half with a 62.5 clip in the second. The Cats finished the game with 50% shooting from the floor and held Colorado Christian to just 30% shooting. So the defense, defensively right now, the Cats are ranked, just so everybody knows, 7th in the country in defense. In the past, we were 310th or something like that in defense. We were always been a decent shooting team, but we'd win 98-97 or lose 78-98. So the defensive effort has definitely stepped up. Ricketts shot 5 of 7 from behind the arc and added 3 steals. So congratulations to the Cats as they win that one this week. The Cats 5-2 take on Green Bay, who is 2-5 at Worthington Arena Saturday night at 6 o'clock. But don't let Green Bay's record fool you whatsoever. This team has played a brutal schedule so far this year, with games against teams like Purdue, Wisconsin, and Xavier, all of those ranked in the top 25. So 3 of their 7 games so far have been against teams like that. They also played in a 4-team tournament against New Mexico and a bunch of other really good teams, Lobos and some of those down there. So don't overlook this Green Bay team. They're going to come in fired up and ready to play. They have been on the road a lot, so we'll have to see how that works out. But that game starts at 6 o'clock Saturday. Make sure you head out there and take a look at this team. They're a lot of fun to watch. Coach Danny Sprinkle has them fired up. This crowd needs to get behind this team because it's really, really exciting. You don't want to be the one, like a Twitter fan of the Cats said, you don't want to be the one that was left out and doesn't have a chance to say, I was there when this whole thing started. So make sure you get out there Saturday and take a look. There's some huge games coming up next week as well that we'll talk about Thursday. One of those, though, is a doubleheader where the Grizz will take on number 10, or ranked in the top 10, Gonzaga, to start a doubleheader. So the Grizz play Gonzaga, and then right after that, the Cats play South Dakota State. That is coming up next Thursday. We'll talk about more about that game coming up next week's show. All right, so once again, moving on to Lady Cats, tough road games led to 2 losses in the Midwest. Those losses to South Dakota State, 60-50, and Big Ten Minnesota, 71-60. Cats were led by Oleana Squires in the UM loss with 14 points, including four three-pointers. Cats were outscored by 14 in the fourth quarter, so almost had the upset and then couldn't quite finish it. And then in the first game, South Dakota State, they were down big. It came back in the second half and surged to almost pull that one off, but then falling by 10 towards the end. So the Lady Cats are another team that are a lot of fun to watch. They've got a lot of new players, but it's definitely exciting over there as well. So make sure that you go check out those teams. Once again, next Thursday is when both teams will be home at the same time. The Cats play this Saturday. The men do here at home. The ladies are on the road. But make sure next week you pencil in Thursday night for that Gonzaga against the Lady Cats. And then after that, South Dakota State facing the boys in a doubleheader up at the Brick. We'll take another quick break and come back with a look at the big win for the Cats over the team to the west on Saturday afternoon. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or as always, you can reach me at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. It's IanLaird3/KGVM Sports. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Win, 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 indeed, and that's exactly what the Cats did in every facet of the game this past weekend. Once again, welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs, 95.9 FM on the radio dial, and IanLaird3/KGVM Sports on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Countless TVs and specials catch all the big games, including Michigan-Ohio State coming up this Saturday, all the FCS playoffs starting this Saturday. They're located at 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus. Once again, their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority. So like J-Rock just said in my classiest urban language, J-Rock says, just win, 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 and that's exactly what the Bobcats did. Like I said, in every facet of the game, the state champs once again this weekend as the Cats took care of business versus the University of Montana. Montana State claims the Brawl of the Wild trophy for the fourth straight year on Saturday, thanks to a dominating run game, and pushed the Bobcats to 48-14 drubbing of the Montana Little Baby Bears here in Bozeman. Isaiah Afonso rushed for 171 yards and three touchdowns, and Logan Jones added 121 yards and another score as the eighth-ranked Bobcats gained 382 yards on the ground and 488 total yards in the game. We'll get into all of that here in a minute, but the Grizzlies knew we were going to run the ball. How they're not able to stop that is just beyond me. They knew we were going to run. And Hauk did some BS line about how they were trying to account for Anderson all week, and that's why they didn't prepare right, and that's why they got their butt kicked, is because Troy Anderson didn't play and they were ready for him to play. So he's trying to tell all of us Cat fans, before I get into the actual game, because it just drives me nuts, that whole statement right there. So you're telling me the best player for either team not playing is the reason you lost the game. Not that you didn't expect him to play, so you didn't practice for him, and then he did, and so it was a struggle. That he didn't play is the reason that you got your bleep handed to you all game long. You're a sore loser and a chump. And that's all I have to say about Hauk on this one. On UM's very first offensive play, MSU Derek Marks recovered a fumble, which turned into an 8-yard touchdown run by Kevin Cassis. Tristan Bailey's field goal to Jones and a Jones touchdown made it 17-0 after the first quarter. In the second quarter, score ballooned to 24-0 as a wide receiver sweep to Tyrone Marshall. Marcus Knight sandwiched two touchdown runs for UM around Afonso's first touchdown score at the half. The score was 31-14 with injured Troy Anderson, like we just mentioned, washing in street clothes on the sidelines. Afonso and Logan shared the running loads with 21 and 19 carries, respectively. Bailey's 30-yard field goal was the only third-quarter points before Afonso added two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to keep MSU Jeff Choate's perfect 4-0 record against Montana. On defense was led by Amandre Williams and Bryce Stirk, both transfers from University of Washington, who combined for 4.5 sacks The MSU defense held the Grizzlies to just 195 yards through the air and only 46 yards on the ground. Yeah, good thing Troy didn't play. Well, below their season average of 459 total yards of offense a game. So they're destroying people on the offense. Couldn't do anything against the Cats. Besides Mark's fumble recovery, MSU's Braden Conkle had an interception while the Bobcats played air free ball. Even though they fumbled it four times, they got them all back. Josh Hill led the MSU team with nine tackles. So let's start from the beginning. Before the game, talking to Cat fans at the tailgate and everything else, it just seemed there was no nerves at all with any of the Cat fans. I think my mother actually put it best. She said, you know, I'm not nervous. If we win, great. If we lose, we're still in the playoffs. Nothing changes for us whether we win or lose. Sure, we'll have a bye if we win, and it's great to win, and it's Cat Grizz. So it's not that we didn't care. Of course we care. But it was just the relaxation of there's not a lot of pressure on this team. They can go out and just play free and play loose and not have to worry about a lot of that because they just got to play. Now, on the Grizzly side, there was a lot at hand for them. They had a chance for a top three seed, which puts them with, if they keep winning, two home games instead of just one and then having to go on the road to face the higher teams. And they also had a chance to, A, break the three-game skid or streak. They won't call it a streak. They call it a skid. I don't know how many. They keep changing the number every year, Grizzly fans do, of what considers a streak or a skid. But that's them and their idiots. But they had a chance to break that three-game winning streak by the Grizzlies. And also, if they win, they have a chance to claim, and they would have been, a shared Big Sky champion, conference champion, and a chance to get the automatic bid and the highest seed of any of them. And if they would have won, they would have. So they had a lot to play for. And the way they came out, they didn't show up at all. I don't understand it. Hauk after the game said that a lot of it might have to do with we take this game so seriously, and maybe he does too. BS. You take this game super seriously and you know it. So don't give us any of this crap like that. And I know Grizzly fans like he's just baiting you into this and everything else. Well, he can bait us all he wants. He just got baited terribly on the field, so don't give us any of that BS that you have. Moving on, as the game started, it can just tell from the crowd, it was a very special game. It was very electric in the atmosphere. I've been going to Cat Grizz games in Bozeman for 20 plus years now. I've never missed one in the last 20 or so years in Bozeman. I miss them over in Missoula, but that's just another reason altogether. And I have never felt the electricity in the stadium like it was. It just felt like Bobcat fans were there to cheer from the first down till the last third down or whatever it might be, and they did. They came out fired up, and it was great. So that's the way it kind of felt from the crowd. Now, of course, the first quarter, I was shocked. May not have been as shocked. I mean, the Bobcat players might not have been as shocked, but for us fans, we aren't used to breaking the Grizz in the first quarter and just beating them down and never letting up. Cat Grizz wins for us always have been close, always. But for some reason, this game, from the opening kickoff on, it was all Bobcats, and that was great to see. Grizz score late in the first half, but at halftime, it was still 31-17. I'm not going to lie, at this point of the game, I was still nervous. I walked out, and a lot of Grizzly fans are like, wow, you're kicking the crap out of us. This game is over. And I thought, it's not over. It's never over when you're a Cat fan. UM has been great in the second half. They've been an amazing second half team, outscoring teams by over 28 points a game in the second half. So a 17-point lead, one stop, and a touchdown, and it's a two touchdowns and they win game. So it was definitely not over. There was a ton to play for. So I was nervous. A lot of other people weren't because they could see what was going on. But I was always still nervous. I just felt it was far from over. It wasn't, but it felt that way. The last thing I have to say about this is the Cats O-line dominated the second half line of scrimmage and broke the will of the Grizzly D from there on out. UM has never had an answer on the O or D line. I think it was Marks talked about it. They could tell, or no, I can't remember who it was. No, now I'm drawing a blank on who it was. And it was offensive lineman for the Cats, came out after the game and said something to the fact of, we could tell halfway through the third quarter that they were broken. They couldn't stop us anymore. Their will was done. And that's everything you want to do when you're fighting somebody like that, is to break their will. And once that will was broken, they knew this game is over. We can run the ball at will, run the clock. They can't get enough possessions to do that. And plus, their defense is so broken down, their offense can't do anything in this game. The defensive line was destroying them. So the O-line and the D-line, I said the secondary had to step up, and they did. But that offensive line and the defensive line just broke the University of Montana Grizzlies over their knee and at will. It was an amazing, amazing thing to see. So final thoughts on the game, a couple of them here. It was the most dominating performance I have ever seen out of the Cats team in a rivalry game. And a lot of that has to do with the players. 90% of it has to do with the players and everything else. But a lot of that also has to do with Coach Choate and the way he can bring this team back. He's even said in October, October was a month to forget. And there were a lot of Cat fans out there, and don't forget who you are, that wanted him gone after we lost two in a row. Because we had a bye, we lost, then had 2 weeks to think about it, then lost again. So by the time we played again, it was almost 3 to 4 weeks since we had a win the last time. And so it was really frustrating for a lot of Cat fans, and they went on Bobcat Nation and all these places and just ripped him apart because of his preparation and what are you doing. And then November showed up, and it seems like his 4 years here, when November shows up is when he shows up and the Cats show up. And that's what you want. You want the Cats playing their best ball in November. It'd be nice if they were also playing it in October. But this year that didn't happen, and we had some tough a tough game against Sacramento State, who, again, is ranked fourth. So it's not like they're bad. We are going to have to go play them down there in the third round, in the quarterfinals, if we make it through next week. So it's not like they're a bad team. But Choate just has a way of getting this team fired up for this game and playing great. Not playing over themselves, not playing too excited to where you get out of position, kind of like I think the Grizz did a lot of the time. But they just have a way of doing that, and it's been amazing. It's been awesome to see, And I really appreciate it. And then I was going to get in real quick. I'm going to do it real quickly so I have enough time for my thankfuls at the end of this year. But the comments afterwards, and I've been talking to a lot of Grizzly fans and everything else, and they say, oh, Houck's not that bad of a guy. He has a lot of friends. Well, everyone has friends. Even jerks have friends. But his total lack of any kind of class when it comes to the Bobcats, before this game, he wouldn't even say their numbers. He would say, or he wouldn't even say their names. It was that other team. Number 15's good. Number this. They have 8 quarterbacks. I can't name their numbers right now. He knows who they were. And the difference of where the programs are going right now, and sure, they're 9-3 as well. They had a great year. They got their butts handed in the last game, so lots of people only think about that game. But they had a good year as well. But for him just to completely disregard the Cats and this rivalry, I think is a bunch of BS, and I don't think he believes it. But it's also the reason why a lot more media and everything is more media friendly to MSU, because Choate is a better media person. He gives better interviews. He gives great interviews. He gives a lot of them. He lets his players talk. Houck doesn't let his players talk after a game unless they win. It's only him up there, and he doesn't let them talk throughout the week. He only has one press conference, and the player, and it's only 7 minutes long, so you don't get a lot of tape of him. And it's kind of pathetic in my mind that he does that. Now, it's old school, it's Nick Saban type stuff, but I just don't get it. So wrapping all that up in a nice good bow, he can do whatever he wants, because for another fourth year in a row, the Cats are state champions. 365 days later, we might be different, but I doubt it. Well, that'll do it for another week of the Gallatin Valley Sports Show. Before I wrap it up, though, I would like to take a moment to give thanks on Thanksgiving to all the people that I'm thankful for. Number one is my amazing family, my amazing wife, Kristen, for always being there this fall to watch the kids while I ran all over the state following the Hawks and doing play-by-play. I couldn't do it without you, so I love you very much, Kristen. Thank you very much for that. Thanks to my son, Camden, for helping out. Doing the board and spotting for me for the Hawks games. It was great having him with me for the ride and watching him kind of get into broadcasting and enjoy it. That was a real treat for me. I'd like to thank Blake Seeds. I'm very thankful for him for being my color guy this past year. I'm a nervous wreck when it comes to right before the games. He kind of laughs about it because I'm a ball of nerves because I don't want to suck, even though I know I'm gonna. And he was a great sidekick to have. He really loosened the tension and did an amazing job in the color position. So thank you very much, Blake. And then finally, I am thankful for having KGVM support the Bozeman Hawks and all of sports in the Valley. It's been just over a year that I have been doing this show, and it wouldn't have been possible without the amazing help of Bob here at the station and the rest of the KGVM staff. So thank you all very much, and that'll do it for another week of Gallatin Valley Sports Show. We'll see you in December, and as always, go Cats!